Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 21st day of May, 2010.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The corn managed a Friday rally. Some have chosen to take advantage of what they see as an opportunity. Should others join in with old and new crop corn sales? We'll ask why or why not today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Purdue Extension Ag Economist Chris Hurt. Our panelists in studio today include Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Ellen Dearden at Ag Review in Morton, Illinois. Well, let's start with this question. Should farmers take advantage of the pop in the corn market from Friday afternoon to make sales, and can they still do that with their grain elevator over the weekend? Matt Bennett.
Well, first of all, I think it definitely depends on what situation they're in. You know, if they are holding a large amount of corn still, I would certainly be looking at it. I don't think as we go forward here that we can expect basis maybe to be as strong. I think that there's a lot of corn to come to the market yet. You know, a lot of it depends as far as him marketing over the weekend on what his relationship is with his grain elevator. I think that there could certainly be some marketed. If he was thinking about it today, I'd be doing it this evening or tomorrow during the daytime instead of waiting on Sunday because you never know what's going to happen over the weekend.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Yeah, we like moving the cash grain into the pipeline. We like converting actual cash grain into cash dollars and maybe replace ownership on paper. There could be another dime up. We know if we get some follow-through buying here, but that puts you back at the upper end of the marketing range, and I think it's prudent to get to where you want to be. There's nothing wrong with holding some inventory until 4th or 5th of July and see if there's some weather and so forth, but that's your gambling stock. But we can come in here Monday and all heck break loose again in the world market, then all of a sudden you're calling up, well, I didn't sell, what should I do again? So it's a vicious circle, and it's a matter of having a plan and sticking to it and getting to where you want to be.
And Ellen Dearden of Ag Review.
We're basically sold out of old crop corn, but for guys that are a little bit behind, we are recommending sales right now.
Here's the way the numbers settled up on a Friday afternoon in Chicago. July corn this week had a high of $3.72.5, a low at $3.53.5. It settled 6 cents higher, all of that gain coming on it Friday during the trading day, and that 6 cents is higher for the week. The settlement price at $3.69. December corn at $3.85.25, up 5.25. I'll go ahead and read the soybeans because it's an interesting contrast. On the weekly trade, July soybeans at $9.55 top, a bottom at 31. The settlement price there at $9.41. July beans down 12.5 cents, and the November beans were off 18.75 at $9.07.5. So new crop corn up 5.25, new crop beans down 18.75. Why the spread?
Well, basically, there's probably a little bit more optimism in the corn here. We're seeing some Chinese business. Producers are still kind of tight holders of corn. And so we saw corn probably be the star here over the short term, whereas beans sort of took it on the chin on maybe a slowdown in some sales. Also, too, the outside market influences. There's some uncertainty there. Then, too, the trade was heavily leveraged on long bean short corn. And for the economic meltdown here this past week or fear, I think there was some deleveraging take place.
Ellen, when you looked at the marketplace Friday, you heard about some kind of confirmation from USDA about sales to China, at least in terms of dollars. Did it give you any hope that the corn market could continue to move sideways to higher?
I think the corn market can move sideways. I mean, beans been the leader for a while in here, and corn's kind of just sat still. We had a real sideways week going into the Friday trade, and that upside breakout technically gave a little pop. I thought we should be looking for a six-week low in the corn the first part of last week, and I think we probably put that in, and that just usually gives you about, 7 or 10 trading days up.
Up or sideways?
Up to sideways to higher. I mean, we've already been up going into Friday compared to Monday's low.
Correct. So how about you? Are you willing to trade it up for our week or so?
Well, I think the trend sideways, we found the lower end, and as stated there, we reversed up out of the hole there, and corn held in there fairly well. And I think probably the headline that was missed this week, there was fear, but it was fear from Las Vegas. We saw some big hedge fund managers there for a convention. They were all in meetings. They were all texting. Their fear was that this whole thing was going to melt down. They weren't in their office. They called back and goes, "What's our risk exposure here?" And I think there was probably some hedges or position squaring this week on managing money. And those are sharp guys. They're the sharpest traders in the world, richest guys in the traders in the world. And I think there was some that squaring away. Come next week, we'll see what the fear attitude is.
Let's move from Vegas to the field. Have you been talking to producers around the Midwest and the Delta region? What are field conditions like? And what'd you think of the month of the last part of April and the early part of May as far as weather goes?
Well, I know a month ago today we'd be sitting in here talking about how great the spring was going, and I think most guys in the Midwest had a window to plant a fair amount of acreage of corn. You know, other than that, regionally, it's been pretty rough at times. I think that beans have certainly not gone in the ground as quickly as what maybe some people were hoping after the way corn went in the ground, but whenever you look at it, to keep it in perspective, you know, comparing it to last year, of course, we're still ahead of pace. You know, I think there's a lot of corn once you get south of maybe south of where I'm at, maybe south of Route 16, a lot of corn's going to have to be replanted. I know there's not as many bushels grown in the southern part of Illinois as once you get north of there, but I think that field conditions certainly aren't anything as something to be optimistic about as what they were a month ago. So I think that there's certainly some problem areas, and whenever you looked at the conditions this past Monday, they weren't quite what some people were hoping for, and it provided a little level of optimism. So I don't think that this perfect spring we've been talking about maybe a month ago is quite held together maybe the way we wanted it to.
No level of optimism, but those are more marginal lands in the southern third of Illinois. I'm assuming in the Delta region we can talk about that in the Boot Heel of Missouri and some of those areas. Do they really have that much of an impact on the overall total grain yield in the United States?
Well, I do think at some point you have to consider. I mean, if you throw three different areas that you just mentioned together and they have major problems, I think that it can cause quite a stir. I think, you know, if you look at ideal conditions everywhere else, then yeah, it might offset one another a little bit, but I don't think you have ideal everywhere else either.
Yeah, Matt, I'm picking up particularly toward the end of this week that there's some real flooded fields, too, in the southeast portion of Iowa, the western side of Illinois, some areas in northern Iowa now with even the Dakotas with the frost damage showing up as a bigger problem. So I thought maybe that was a little bit in the market on Friday as well.
Is the USDA number right for they were above trend yield for their last WASDE number.
They were above trend yield, and some of the privates are even above USDA. So who knows at this stage of the game? All the number that we have right now is just based on early planting. It's really not based on any kind of conditions.
Would you all qualify yourselves as just questionable as to where the marketplace might head at this point? Is it more confusing for you this year than it has been? And maybe we should throw out 2008, but is it more confusing this year in trying to divine which direction marketplace might be headed?
I think fundamentally this market's really pretty difficult to gauge, so I have to just really focus on fundamentals and following the money. Where the money flows coming in, I think, is critical to see.
Well, as a producer, we feel the risk is to the downside. fundamentally, we've got ample supplies right now. Yeah, there are some problem areas weather-wise that can change the fundamental picture as we go down the road. But we kind of felt the risk was to the downside until you get in the 4th of July weekend, and after that, we can change that picture.
I agree with Kurt, and I think that if I'm talking to a producer, I've got to ask him, okay, look at your input costs. If you can make money selling corn at $3.50 out of the field, then you got to be considering making some sales. If you want to speculate on it, you know, we can go out and do several different things, whether we do some buying some puts or maybe buying calls and selling the cash. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do, but I think you have to think, what kind of money am I going to leave on the table if I'm a producer sitting here and, you know, expecting to raise a pretty decent crop? I think a lot of guys are pretty bullish on what kind of crop they're going to raise right now.
On Friday morning, Gary Schnitke was in my office, and I don't know that this is all up on the FarmDoc website yet or not, but if it's not, it will be soon. And it's an article that he wrote as a FEFO, Farm Economic Facts and Opinion piece. Should be titled Revised Revenues for Corn and Soybeans in 2009 and 2010, or something along those lines. It shows that net corn return last year for a Central Illinois farm, cash rent, was a negative $29 an acre. And soybeans were a positive $66 an acre. And then make some projections based off the USDA numbers and suggest that 2010 projected net corn per acre will be in revenue at $45 an acre and a loss of $9 for soybeans. Matt, I know I showed some of this to you and gave you a couple of those charts. There were some pretty interesting things that showed between just the 2008 and 2009 crop year for corn.
Certainly. I think there's a lot of things we can take away from it. Todd, we were talking before the show. Net income per acre from 08 to 09 went down $269 on corn. Whenever we talk about what you were just talking about as far as revenue for this year, they base it on a cash rent of $210 an acre. So, of course, there's a large disparity between individual producers. And I think that one thing that this shows is, you know, last year we've talked about this. I know at some of the meetings Kurt and I have been to, we've talked about guys didn't make a whole lot of money planting corn last year in a lot of situations because it's tough to budget $60 an acre to dry down corn. And I think that, you know, it shows you the wild volatility that we can have from one year to the next. And I think it's something we're definitely going to have to keep in our back pocket and keep as a reminder.
All right. So I'll take this back. And you mentioned this, that you asked them one question. Can you make money at $3.50? And if that's the case, should you make the sale? And so I'll ask the two of you, can they make money at $3.50 and should they make the sale?
Well, it varies from individual to individual greatly. I mean, you got guys paying big cash rents. You got guys paying small cash rents. Some own, some don't. And that's what we do. We sit down with individuals if they want to and sort of figure out where they need to be. But the main thing I heard this winter from the sharpest producers around is if you're making a profit, lock it in.
The thing that I'm up against here when we talk about we can make money or can't make money at $3.50 an acre right now is yield is the total variable. So if all you're plugging in is an average yield, most everybody will say I can make some money at $3.50. However, are we at average yields? Have our stands been reduced by the excess of water enough that our average yield, we could be below that? Or are we going to be above it because we have great subsoil? I mean, that's kind of the issue that gets posed to me.
Here are some other numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade for the week. July wheat had a high of 475, a low at 461 and a quarter. Its settlement price at $4.72 finished a half cent higher. The July 2011 contract at $5.80 and a quarter, up a quarter of a cent. July oats at $1.96 were up a quarter. Live cattle futures, June contract from the CME Group, $93.50 at the top for the week. The bottom at $90.50, a settlement price at $91.37.5, down $1.87.5. May feeders at $108.75 were down $1.47.5 on the week. And June lean hogs, a high this week of $83.50, a low at $79.90. The settlement price there at $81.45 finished down $2.10. We didn't actually take up the outside markets very much in this first half of the program. Anything that we should have done?
Well, if you've been short crude oil for the last 3 weeks you did okay, but you know, a couple weeks ago OPEC talked about $65 crude oil. The June got down to 64 and some changed. Hopefully we'd stabilize there and give the whole market sector some confidence.
Yeah, do we have to worry about ethanol in the case that we're, you know, we push these crude oil prices lower?
We've got ethanol at a discount to gasoline prices, and yet we're still building stocks there.
Yeah, I agree with what she said. If you're still building stocks, to me, I don't know, that's a little bit of a concern. But I think this whole oil spill thing is going to throw a monkey wrench in. It'll be interesting to see how it's handled.
Now we'll watch it all as it unfolds here on Commodity Week. You can always join us online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. We post the program at about 6 o'clock. Each and every Friday evening. When we come back, we'll talk with Purdue Extension Ag Economist Chris Hurt. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist here at the Illinois State Water Survey. Overall, this week has been another cool one with temperatures 5.9 degrees below normal. Statewide average rainfall was 1.42 inches, 0.55 inches above normal. Rainfall is lightest in northern Illinois, where amounts were less than an inch, and heaviest in central Illinois, especially in a stretch between St. Louis and Springfield, where up to 4 inches fell. So far, May is shaping up to be cooler and wetter than normal. The statewide average temperature for May is 59 degrees, 2.4 degrees below normal. The statewide average rainfall is 4.8 inches, 2 inches above normal. The largest rainfall totals for May have been in the region between Quincy and the Quad Cities. Dallas City and Henderson County reported 8.73 inches for the month. According to the National Weather Service, Illinois will finish out May with a dose of real summer weather. By Sunday, warm, moist air will come in from the Gulf of Mexico. We can expect highs in the 80s and 90s and lows in the 60s pretty much through through Memorial Day. The 6 to 10-day and 8 to 14-day forecast call for strong chances of above-normal temperatures with near-normal precipitation. So we can expect summer-like weather to prevail, hot, sticky days, with some scattered thunderstorms thrown in. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm State Climatologist Jim Angel.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 21st day of May, 2010. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In studio with us, Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois. On the phone line today, Chris Hurt, Extension Ag Economist from Purdue University. Thanks for being with us today, Chris.
Oh, always enjoy it, Todd.
USDA on Friday afternoon released its latest cattle on feed numbers on feed as of May 1 at 96%, placed in April at 102, and marketed in April at 99. I need two things from you. First, what you think of those numbers. And secondly, you had recently said that the cattle and the hog market was back. Is it still the case?
Well, I think obviously we're going to continue to see a relatively small amount of cattle in the feedlot. Clearly, we've gotten these grain prices down from what we've seen. We've got the livestock up, the cattle up in particular, as we talk about cattle on feed. And that obviously means we will see a movement of more cattle into the feedlot, and I think that's reflected here. Maybe another thing on the cattle and hog markets this week is that concern about the world economic recovery. And I think this is particularly the European problems over the past two, three, 4 weeks coming in and saying that this could slow world economic growth. If you slow world economic growth, that does bring the demand question for agricultural commodities. And I think you've seen that both in the hogs and cattle in terms of futures here the last couple of weeks.
Chris, Matt Bennett here. We were talking here before you got on just a little bit about corn and beans. And you know, we were talking about guys making money at 350, and given the start to the planting season, you know, if you were giving a guy advice on where to go, some of these guys are sitting on a fair amount of unsold corn going into this year. Let's just talk about this crop year. What would your advice be to them based on what you've seen and where you think acreage may fall and the condition of the crop?
Well, I think this was the first week where we saw the vulnerability, as you've already talked about, of this crop. One of the things we can say about this particular spring is that we had 20-degree excess temperatures above normal in April, and we've had very cool, wet temperatures. So I think it is those extremes. And while early planting is a nice thing to have, it's a relatively small influence on the final yields. Those are determined by summer weather, as we all know. So I think the way to bet is just the way each of you were saying, and that is towards a little bit larger crop, and that will be above normal, certainly on the corn crop. But I think this is the first week to tell us that you've got a pretty strong bottom in this market for right now. And as you say, we've got a sideways range, and can we get to the upside of that range? And I think you just have to add some to your sales at this point. Mention one other thing. National Weather Service was out with their summer forecast on Thursday, and basically they've got cool temperatures for most of the Great Plains and extending through Illinois and most of Indiana. That tends to make a very good corn crop and above normal moisture for the Great Plains. So I think the summer call at this point, at least for National Weather Service, is that we don't jeopardize the early planting.
Yeah, Chris has mentioned there, as a producer, weather is going to be real important between now and this fall, of course. But as a producer, what's your best idea on what's important and what's not important? For example, we've got grease going down. We've got crude oil doing this. We've got so many outside influences that it's kind of tough to stick to a marketing plan. Is there some type of priority maybe you could share with us on what's important and what's not important?
Well, I think, again, you know, what is important to the bottom line for each of those producers. So that's what they have to certainly make judgments from. We heard this week another word we hadn't talked much about for a while, and that was deflation. We saw the lowest core inflation in the United States since 1966. So this rings a potential fear, maybe along the line of what each of you were saying, and that is, could there even be further downside? And certainly the big crop scenario, with certainly no inflation showing up in the U.S. Economy in the short run, could well suggest that that we haven't made all the adjustment to the downside yet in terms of commodity prices that we'll have to see. You know, is it possible we could have $55, $60 oil as we go on into later this year? And I think those are possibilities. Longer run, I think most people want to put inflation back in the scenario, but the question is, when does that occur? And I think it's in the further distant future than the short right now, so I really want to be pretty defensive, as each of you suggested.
So without inflation, it suggests that cash sales be made for fall delivery rather than waiting to hold it for March, April, or next July?
No, we've got big carry in the corn market, so I think really great opportunities to earn storage returns for sure in the corn market. Those aren't impressive in the soybean market. So I think the preference always would be to be looking at putting hedges on with futures or with options, and then expecting those spreads, future spreads, the D's to March and the March to May, to widen out somewhat more and to try to earn all of the premium that you can for storage.
Chris, can I switch topics just a little bit?
Sure.
Have you and your colleagues taken a look at the acre program again this year, and do you have suggestions for those producers that have not yet signed up for it, whether or not they should meet that deadline and sign up by June 1?
Yeah, I think especially giving the overall reasonably bearish tone that all of us are talking about here. The sign-up date, we've got roughly another week, has to be by the end of June. We're trying to key the price, and again, based on reasonably average yields. This is kind of for Indiana averages, but I think they'll be pretty close in Illinois. We're looking at if November soybeans are below $9, that's about where we think we would start to trigger getting payments in soybean acre. Now, we're just a touch over that at the close of the week, so I think we're very close to triggering what our best guess would be, triggering acre payments for soybeans. Corn's about 30 cents out of the money at the end of the week. We think a 355 December or lower would begin to trigger that. Wheat already is expected to have large and fairly large payments for us here in Indiana, $35 to maybe $50 an acre for 2010. Our estimates are if you have about 10% or more wheat in your crop mix, that the wheat payments would be enough to cover the losses you have on corn and beans if there were no payments. I think next week, really watch this, run your numbers again. If we do see a bearish week, we'll encourage a few more people to go into the acre program in 10.
Yeah, Chris, here a month ago, I was probably beating the drum of extra acres on corn pretty hard. But, I, this past month's weather certainly made you think a little bit about the acreage mix. What do you have, if anything, for an opinion on where we might end up? Because, earlier on we were all going to push acreage on corn, but now, who knows with the way we were kind of wrapping up the spring.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't have a lot of reason to question the USDA numbers too much. I think looking at the last 5 or 6 years where we've tended to get a little more corn planted, there is that relationship over time when you plant corn early to get some more acres. I think we'll see a little bit more corn acreage than what the numbers had suggested to us early on in the earlier crop intentions report. And again, the beans are not a done deal yet in terms of this planting season. So I think this next week we're going to see if we're going to be able to get back in these fields, get the beans finished up. If not, then we really are beginning to look at the concern about late planted beans and maybe some potential losses in terms of yield.
So with perhaps as many as 90 million planted corn acres, are those additional acres going to come outside the Midwest where yields aren't typically all that good?
Well, obviously some will. Haven't looked at that those numbers real closely, but we certainly have more cotton acreage, so I think that says your real acreage is going to be here in the middle part of the country. It's going to be in the Corn Belt.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris Hurt, Purdue Extension Ag Economist, joining us from his Lafayette, Indiana office. Now time for a final word from our panelists in studio, Ellen Dearden of Ag Review.
Looks like some opportunities here ahead. Look for a lot of volatility in the market this upcoming week as it's the end of the month. And it's just a long weekend ahead next weekend.
And Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities?
If you're uncertain about selling, like to hang on to some cash inventory, there's some real innovative option strategies out there that could put a floor in you and leave your upside open.
Matt Bennett of Total Grain.
I think if profitability is there, a guy's got to be proactive in making some sales and doing something to back it up if he wants.
Matt Bennett is with Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. You've been listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always hear us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.